It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We've been looking closely at environmental issues on this program, and since today is Earth Day, we thought it would be fitting to celebrate with a party, a virtual Earth Day party, that is. It's happening on Thursday, and it's being put on by the environmental organization Communitopia. I'm joined now in Studio A by the president of Communitopia, Joylette Portlock. Joylette, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Thank you very much, and happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day to you, too. Can you start by explaining the concept behind this virtual Earth party and why it's being held on Thursday?
Well, the reason for the party is obviously Earth Day. You know, we thought we'd give people who had a slow start getting back into this week from the weekend a chance to have a couple days to get ready. As an organization, our main project is a series of environmental videos that are short, funny videos about climate change that are all available online. So why not have the party virtually?
That makes sense. And we've talked about your videos, and they are short, and they are funny and informative. And so this is just a way of kind of taking that concept a little further?
That's right. So the organization exists, and we really are focused on climate change. Now, climate change is a topic that is very, you know, it's scary, it's depressing, it's kind of dire, the situation that we are in currently environmentally, and it's a problem that's as big as the whole world. So we as an organization say, well, okay, well, what do you do with that? You know, what do you do with that as a person? You know, so we do our best to engage people on the subject and to empower people to make a positive difference. We make the science accessible. We make the news palatable. We inject a lot of humor. We always give people actions that they can take.
Now, if you're a climate denier, you're ignorance is bliss. So therefore, you're not depressed. So it's the people that accept the science who are the ones that are depressed by all the facts and figures of the temperature increases that are being charted and all of that sort of thing. So how do you present this information? Because it is frightening. So how do you take it in a humorous direction? The fact that, oh, and by the way, the Earth is getting warmer and we're destroying the ozone and all these things are happening.
Well, so my background actually is in science communication. And so I really look at this as a science literacy, as a science communication effort.
You have a PhD.
I do. And so we want we want to have an informed public debate about this issue, about what we're going to do to solve the problem. So we need, you know, an informed public. And so to do that, we take away, you know, the guilt and the blame, and we try to move people to a place where the problem is accessible.
Yep, that's why we bring the water in there. It's got to be a challenge when you're talking about, okay, the ice is melting and the polar ice caps are going away, and we could have so much water that we won't know what to do with it here on this earth.
It's true. It is a challenge, but I think that by using a lot of humor and by continuing to remind people that though where we are now is a kind of dire place, there are so many opportunities to make things better, and that the path to get there from here is a positive one that can be fun and has a lot of benefits along the way besides just helping the environment and, you know, saving our communities and so things so forth.
So the good news is there is hope. And then as far as the entertainment goes, you brought along part of a song, I understand?
I did. So as part of our Earth Day party, which is 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, more information at communitopia.org for how to watch, we are going to have special guests, people working on this climate communication issue here in Pittsburgh and a few farther-flung efforts. We're going to have some giveaways, and we're going to be premiering the newest video in our Don't Just Sit There, Do Something series, which is a music video, a parody of Thrift Shop, the song by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. And so I have a clip.
I'ma save Boku money. Oh yeah, and stop climate catastrophe. A bazillion ways to save and I will never get bored. I'm getting cash and I deserve a conservation award. Preschoolers in this country don't know where food comes from. My kid looks in the garden catalog and gets every one. I avoid individual packages and buy bulk every time. Bringing bags to grocery store, yeah, you appreciate my rhyme. I buy my clothes secondhand when I can and work them like you should. Even crunchy granola girls be like, oh, she looking good.
I'm gonna kill some what, and I kinda think that you feel me. This climate change is real, I'm saving dollar bills, and you know that you want some.
And let's take that last part right there. I'm going to kill some watts. I'm going to kill some. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, it's a play on the word kilowatt, right? Which is a unit of energy. And, you know, so we're saying we're going to kill some watts. We're going to unplug some things and reduce our demand for electricity, which will reduce the amount of climate pollution going into the air.
Well, some of these things that people can do that you're recommending that they do are really relatively simple, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, many of them are very simple. And we try to make sure that we're always, again, reminding people that there are simple things that we can do that will make a difference.
Okay. So in addition to unplugging a few things, and one of the things I've heard, for example, is your phone charger. If you instead of leaving that plugged in all the time, if you just unplug that, that goes a long way toward
phantom power. A lot of devices, even if they're off, but they're plugged in. Televisions are examples of this. Often they'll still have an indicator light that's on that indicates they're sucking power even though they're off. You know, so if you have a way to put those things on a power strip and unplug them when you turn your computer off, actually shut everything down that's affiliated, all the peripherals and everything, and that can make a difference.
And you would save money as well, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's part of what this video specifically is about. It's about consumer choices that save both energy and money. And we had a lot of fun putting it together with some cameos from folks around town, including Mayor Peduto, is in the video too.
Really? Is he rapping in this?
No. No, he's not actually
that
rapping.
That could be really interesting. We're talking with Joylette Portlock. She is president, Joylette Portlock. She is president of Communitopia. And this is an interesting organization. And explain what the goal of Communitopia is and how this all came together. This is something that we've talked to you before, but this is something new that you're bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Don't Just Sit There, Do Something video series has been around for about 2 years, and it is now a project of this organization, Communitopia. And so our goal really is to engage people on the subject of climate change and empower them to make positive actions at an individual, community, and even engage in actions that are happening at the national level.
And what is the latest news regarding climate change that people may not be aware of?
Right. Well, yeah, actually, there's been some big reports that have come out, scientific reports that have come out just in the last month. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is a group from the UN that looks at thousands of studies around the world, you know, and produces sort of summary documents of what the status of the science is, just came out with a couple of sections of their report. So there's three sections. The one last fall dealing with the physical science basically says, yes, humans are causing unequivocal changes to the environment. We are at this point stuck with some of the changes, but we can still avert the catastrophic changes. The one that came out late March dealt with impacts and vulnerabilities and adaptation. That said, you know, there are going to be a lot of disparities in who's hurt worst based on adaptive potential, based on, you know, the things that you would expect as far as which communities are more able to cope with changes and disruption. But that we're all going to have to deal with some unacceptable consequences of climate change, and that our potential globally for adaptation will be overcome if we don't, you know, curb our pollution. And then the report that just came out just in the last week was about mitigation. It basically said that if we want to avoid the catastrophic consequences, then we really have to start curbing our pollution. We have to do it soon. If we don't sort of get better pollution controls than we currently have now in place in the next 15 years or so, it's going to be extremely difficult for us to, you know, pull things back to achievable to averting those most catastrophic consequences. But one thing that was actually really interesting, I thought, that in that last report that was talking about mitigation and our pollution levels, was that reducing energy demand was a big part of a lot of the recommendations. So not just getting cleaner energy sources, but actually implementing some of this very straightforward consumer level behavior change stuff that we've been talking about.
Are we more challenged when it comes to coming up with ways to deal with climate change here in Pennsylvania?
We do have some specific challenges versus some other places. We still do get a lot of our energy from coal-fired power plants versus.
We were just talking about
places.
This yesterday, and there are environmental groups like the Sierra Club that are upset with the way that the state and the Department of Environmental Protection is dealing with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we do have some specific challenges here, but there's, again, always the opportunity on the other side of that. You know, there's also been studies that have come out in the last year or two showing that this is a great area to do wind and solar, to do renewable energy, both because of the economic benefit, but also because of health benefits as well.
Assuming that anyone who is really going to get on board with this effort that you're spearheading, assuming that most of the people that are really into this have already kind of signed up, as it were, who are the new people that you can bring on board with this effort, and how do you reach them? How do you reach the skeptics?
Well, that's a great question. And I think our first target isn't necessarily to reach the people who are actively dismissive about the subject of climate change. What we really want to try to do is to, you know, there's different segments of the population. What we want to really try to do is get the people who are potentially interested in this but haven't been paying much attention, or care but don't necessarily have all the information. The people who are interested and receptive but not necessarily engaged, and we want to engage them.
Joylette Portlock is president of Communitopia, and again, the virtual Earth Day party is Thursday. And how do people access this?
You can find out more information on our website at communitopia.org.
Okay, and we'll put a link to that on our website at wesa.fm, and that's when the video debuts, featuring, among others, our new mayor, Bill Peduto. That should be something. Does he at least dance a little bit?
He's not really dancing.
Okay, no. But, he's virtually dancing.
But it's a pretty funny video.
Okay.
I'm excited.
We'll look forward to it. Thank you, Joylette.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll look at the business of Earth Day, the business of Earth Day on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Earth Day began at the height of the, as it was called, hippie movement of the 1970s. At the time, pollution was seen as the cost of prosperity. Since then, our consciousness has been raised regarding the negative impact humans are imposing on the environment. This week, contributor Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, looks at the business of Earth Day. Rebecca Harris, happy Earth Day. Welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Happy Earth Day, Paul. Great to be here on this nice rainy day. We need this rain for the flowers. It's all good for Earth Day.
Now,
things are growing.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
I love a nice, light spring rain.
It's very nice.
It is lovely out there. And so for those who may not be down with it, and I can't imagine who doesn't really understand it at this point. But for those who don't, what is Earth Day?
Okay, so let's do a little bit of the history. It's an annual event celebrated on April 22nd. Events are held worldwide in over 190 countries to demonstrate support for environmental protection. The passage of the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, and the Endangered Species Acts are really considered to be outcomes from the 1970 Earth Day, which is exciting. I mean, it meant really things were happening and tangible. And commitment ideas for what to do on Earth Day, which is promoted by the Earth Day Network, include pledging to educate friends and family on global warming, buying green products such as energy-saving compact fluorescent light bulbs, organizing community events, activities like that.
And this is something that originated on the old Arbor Day?
Well, it's interesting. It really originated in 1969 at a UNESCO conference in San Francisco when peace activist John McConnell proposed a day to honor the Earth and really the concept of peace. So it was first celebrated March 21st, 1970, which is the first day of spring. Later that year, what happened was a separate Earth Day was founded by the United States Senator Gaylord Nelson as an environmental teach-in. So it really sort of changed in terms of what the essence of it was. And then in 1970, April 22nd, 20 million people across the United States celebrated it. Now, the original Earth Day was just really focused on the United States, but Dennis Hayes, who was the original national coordinator, he was only 25 when he started it, he began the organization called Earth Day Network, which was basically a vehicle to take this whole thing international. And he remains the honorary chair, which is exciting. He's going to be our commencement speaker this year at our university. But now numerous communities celebrate Earth Week. And it's an entire week of activities focused on environmental issues. And it's now the world's most widely observed secular holiday. So now we have some good history behind us, Paul.
It's interesting, especially when you talk about growing this, networking, the idea of or the concept of an Earth Day. Back in 1969, there was no internet as we know it today. People didn't have computers. So how did this 25-year-old entrepreneur do this?
It the old-fashioned way, you know, with press releases and community organizing and grassroots, the way we all used to do.
He went over to the mimeograph machine and churned and just...
Right, the old ways, which I think is really important. And I know we were talking earlier about why is it important to really bring this holiday up every year? I mean, do we really still need
it? Well, yeah, because people are so much more aware of environmental concerns than they were 4.5 decades ago. So why is it important?
Well, when you think, first of all, it's bringing younger children into the fray, because as kids are getting older, they really need the education of what it is. If you look at climate change and all the factors affecting climate change, the things that we need to teach and the things that change every year. And I think it's very important to continue to remind people about this. And when you have a day of celebration, which has become a week, you really engender a lot of activities, awareness, and hopefully action.
And who are the major players in Pittsburgh?
Well, and actually one is the mayor's office. The city of Pittsburgh and the mayor's office organizes a number of events. And what has happened now is it really has been considered now the birth of the modern environmental movement. So there are rallies, there are events. People in Pittsburgh have developed their own Earth Day events, walks, runs, cleanup events, the Pittsburgh Zoo, the aquarium, the Environmental Charter School, Moon Parks and Recreation, the Pittsburgh Parks Conservancy and City Parks, Allegheny Cleanway, Sierra Club, the Pirates even. And those are just a few of the ones that are really doing some great stuff during this day. The zoo is doing a wild Earth Day on April 25th to celebrate the Conservation Education Department. The Student Conservation Association is doing something on the south side on April 26th, where you can join them and the Parks Conservancy and the Southside Slopes, and they're doing a day of cleanup and improving the trails. So I think those are great initiatives. They're also removing invasive species, which has really been a problem. So there's some great things that are happening around the city.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and I'm with our contributor, Rebecca Harris. She's director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. We're looking at the business of Earth Day. So let's discuss the business aspects of Earth Day, which a lot of people might not have guessed there even were
right,
any of those.
Right. Well, when you go back to the original Earth Day in 1970, the anti-business sentiment was so strong that the organizers at that time took no money from corporations. They held teach-ins to challenge corporate and government leaders. So the essence of it has changed a lot. Now, here we are 40 years later, and the day has really turned into a marketing platform for selling a variety of goods and services which are very green and eco-friendly. So we're seeing things like Greek yogurt being promoted, eco-dentistry being promoted, things that you would not normally think of. But the awareness celebrations have also provided a great opportunity to showcase when green-leaning companies have really done some great initiatives and to promote conservation efforts. So here's a couple great things that we found. For this year's celebration, Bahama Umbrella is advertising a specially designed umbrella with a drain so that water can be stored, reused, and recycled. I'm not sure how heavy that would be, Paul.
I was going to say, if you get caught in a heavy rain, man, you're going to have a hard time holding that thing up.
That is a great idea. Gray Line, which is a New York City sightseeing company, will keep its buses running on fossil fuels, but it's promoting an Earth Day package of day trips to green spots. Here's what Apple has done, the company. This year's official Earth Day theme is Green Cities, which is a great tie-in for because they're currently building a new campus in Cupertino. And so they're looking at powering the new facility with green energy. So you can see that these are definitely initiatives that are now happening and tied into corporate America.
And who are the major players internationally?
So when we look at some of these players, we see some great things happening. In Balboa Park, we're seeing the largest free environmental fair in the world, which is really remarkable. They're bringing in 60,000 visitors. In Indonesia, there are environmental activists who parade holding up plastic bottles to protest the environmentally unsound practices. And Tokyo, as a part of their Earth Day festivities, residents parade throughout the streets in protest of different things from nuclear power to good health for children. So many things are really happening around the world, which I think are very significant.
Well, it is Earth Day, and we want to wish everyone listening, as well as you, Rebecca, a happy Earth Day. Rebecca Harris is the director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, looking today at the business of Earth Day. Rebecca, as always, great thanks.
You're very welcome. We're going to go plant some trees today, Paul.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.